I cannot by the Bible tell you that Jesus' birthday is December the 25th. I cannot by the Bible tell you that it is not December the 25th. But I can tell you one thing, that Jesus Christ was born, and He was born for us. Amen? I can tell you that He was born, and as a matter of fact, I want to thank God every single day, every single second. You and I should be rejoicing about the very birth of Jesus Christ. We know that He was born, and we need to consider what the birth of Jesus Christ means to you and me. December the 25th. Everybody knows December the 25th. We've talked about it. We've enjoyed it all the way when we were young children, all the way up, and still enjoying it this very day. Is a day that mankind has chosen to celebrate the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. But my friends, listen to me. I want to choose every day to be my December 25th. Amen? We need to celebrate Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Not just on Christmas Day, not just on Mother's Day and Valentine's and all that kind of stuff, but you and I should be celebrating the love that God has for His people every single day of the year. Do you agree with that? All right. So I want us to get into the lesson. Let's get rolling as we talk about the gift of Jesus, which is the gift of life. Say that with me. The gift of Jesus, which is the gift of life. In the book of Galatians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. God's word says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His who? His Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. So for our lesson this morning, things that I want us to look at and consider what the birth of Jesus Christ truly means to you and to me individually. Just what does Jesus' birth really mean? Have you really thought about it? Do you think about it a lot? Do you consider what effect it's had on your life or if it's having an effect in your life? I want us to consider today, not just Christmas Day. Don't look at December 25th as this is Jesus' birthday. Don't take it away and say it's not. It is up to you individually, but be aware that there is no biblical proof that it is or that it isn't. Amen? Again, what I want to drive home is there's no need to get wound up about what day it is, but let's get about what day it is. That it is, matter of fact, there is a birthday of Christ. He did. He was born. He was sent from the beauty, comfort, and splendor of heaven. He did die upon that cruel cross at Calvary. He was buried in a borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And on the which day did He rise? On the third day, He rose again. Where is He at right now? Sitting at the right hand of God, sitting at the right hand of the Father. That, my friend, is what is important. So this morning, I want you and me to consider the gift of Jesus, the gift of life. And I want us to talk a little bit more about His birth and what the birth of Jesus Christ means to you and me. I didn't put this on the list right there. Quite honestly, I just forgot. When I saw it this morning, I'm like, well, I didn't put it on there. But it's important for you and me to head to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, we're going to look at those 12 verses together very quickly. But I want us to see as our first point that the birth of Jesus means that prophecy was fulfilled. Now, does that sound about right? Does it sound right to everybody else besides the three people? Does it sound right to you that when we talk about the birth of Jesus, that prophecy was fulfilled? All right, very good. Then we can move forward. So when we look at these particular passages of Scripture, when we consider the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God, it shows you and me that the things that we've read about in the Old Testament is coming to pass. So take a look and see what the Bible says in Isaiah 53, 1 through 12. All found, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He, talking about who? Say Jesus with me. For He, talking about who? Jesus, very good. Or Christ, that's perfect. For He or Christ grow up before Him as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness. When we see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from Him. He, talking about Jesus, was despised, and we did not even what? We didn't esteem Him. We didn't raise Him up. We didn't pick Him up. We didn't encourage. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten by God, and the Bible says afflicted. But He, talking about Christ, was wounded for whose transgressions? He was wounded, watch this, He was wounded for our transgressions, but he was also bruised for whose iniquities? Our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon who? By whose stripes? I don't think you're getting it. By whose stripes? Very good. By his stripes, the Bible says that we are healed. All we like sheep have gone away. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb before the slaughter, and a sheep before its shearers is silent. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, the Bible says, he was what? And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done. How much violence had Jesus done? None. Nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, shall it prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall, watch this, see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall do what? Watch this. Bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul even unto what? And the Bible says he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Darlene, we talked about this on a Wednesday night. This particular passage of Scripture, Amy, was 700 years before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So we know that this was written, Jared, 700 years before his crucifixion. This was all prophecy, right, Courtney? Every bit of it was prophecy. So, Chris, what I'm getting is when Jesus Christ is born, this shows us, listen to me, the birth of Jesus shows us that prophecy is now being fulfilled. Isn't that right? Or has been fulfilled. So that's what I want to make sure we drive home. Well, let's head over to the book of Micah in case there was any doubt. Maybe someone's thinking, I don't know about Isaiah. Well, you better look at that and get a second opinion. I'm about to show it to you. We all know through a close study of God's Word that Jesus Christ was spoken by many great prophets, but especially by the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 5, down in verse 2. Everybody ready? I appreciate you three being ready. Everybody else ready? Very good. All right, here we are. Let's take a gander at it. Micah chapter 5 and look at verse 2. The Bible says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be, watch this, ready? Go. Ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. I love and I appreciate, folks, the way that Micah, I love the way Micah talks about that. I love the way Micah spoke of the place where Jesus would be born. I appreciate being able to see, and I know you are as well, to see firsthand how Christ was prophesied about where he would be. We can also see that prophecy was fulfilled concerning his birth over in the book of Isaiah. Brother Stephen brought that to us just a few moments ago. Isaiah chapter 7, down in verse 14, the Bible says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a what? Behold, the virgin shall conceive. She's going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name, translated, God with us. Say that with me. Translated, God with us. And then if we look over at Matthew chapter 1, down in verse 23, the Bible says, behold, watch this, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which again is translated God with us. We could look at a massive amount of scripture showing that Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God, that he was prophesied. What I love about the birth of Jesus Christ is not just so I can gather and get presents or give presents or gather with family for food and fellowship. Those things are really good. But what I love about the birth of Jesus, Brother Jerry, is it shows me that prophecy is being fulfilled. It shows me that the scriptures are accurate, Teresa. It shows me that the things that have been talked about, they're coming to pass. And it gives me hope. It gives me joy. It gives me excitement. And it should be doing the same to you, because we know for faithful, obedient Christians what's promised to us. And is at home in? All right, very good. The second point I want us to examine this morning, as we talk about the gift of Jesus, the gift of life, and the birth of Christ, here it is. The birth of Jesus also shows us that joy, J-O-Y, that joy has come into the world. For all of us that are Christians, for all of us that are followers of Jesus Christ, children of God, we all know firsthand just how it feels, don't we, to be a member of the Lord's family. We all know firsthand what it's like to experience the joy of knowing Jesus, that prophesied, if I may, Son of God. I have great joy in my heart because of my relationship with God, and I know that you should and do as well. I have great joy in my life and that of knowing Jesus. I've got great joy in knowing that Jesus is my Lord and my Master. Does that sound all right with everybody? He's my Lord. He's my Master. You know, your relationship with me and my relationship with you is very important to me. It really is. But my relationship with you, your relationship with me, does nothing in order to get to heaven. Amen? It's our relationship. It's being united in Jesus Christ. And I love what Jesus has done. When he was born, when he came into this world, he set the guideline down. He said, Jerry, lad, here is your compass. If you want to follow me, go by this compass. What's the compass today, brothers and sisters? Wow. What is the compass today? Say it with me. The Bible. Can y'all hear this morning? Wake up, because I can get louder.
Hello.
I'll try to act right, but you got to respond. Are we there? All right. Now let's head over to the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And here's what I want to get at with this one. The birth of Jesus shows that joy has come into the world. When Jesus Christ is our Master, that brings us joy, doesn't it? Or should be bringing us happiness. Stephen, does it bring you joy? Does it bring you happiness? Are you excited about what Jesus has done? All right, very good. But here's a problem. A lot of people, Heather, are calling Jesus their Lord. They're calling him his Master, but we're not serving him the right way, are we? I like what he says over in Luke 6, 46 here. Listen to this. Listen. Luke 6, 46. But why do you call me and not do the things which I say? That word Lord means Master. That's right, Bobby. So why are you calling me Master if you're not serving me? If I am your Master, you've got to serve me. I'm telling you today that Jesus came here to be our Master, didn't he? He came here to be our Lord. Let's be sure that we are serving him with all that we can, doing all that we can to fulfill our responsibilities, to do what God is calling us to do. Let's head over to the book of Luke. You might like this one. Luke chapter 2. Let's share together some goodies here. Are you already there? All right. Luke chapter 2, where are we going to start? What verse? All right. And we're going to read to what? Very good. So we're going to look at Jesus and his birth, and we're going to see how it brought joy many, many years ago and still brings joy this very day. So Luke chapter 2, 4 through 14. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was... Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the what?" All right, Christ the who? Lord. Go ahead and look at 12. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped up in swaddling cloths, lying where?" Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, and goodwill.'" There you go. What great joy, brothers and sisters, that we have in that solid relationship with Jesus Christ. As you look at your own life today, what does Jesus and his birth mean to you? What does Jesus' birth, how much of an effect does it have in your life? For me, it means joy. for me, it means happiness. Even in sad times and difficult times and trials and struggles, even with those things, even though I may have tears coming down my face, I can still have happiness in Christ, can't I? I can still have joy. I can still feel complete in our Heavenly Father. So what does the birth of Jesus mean to you? It means joy, real joy. Let's go over to the book of John. To the book of John, and I want us to look at chapter what? You're already there then. Very good. John chapter 15, and let's look at 10 and 11. John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. The scripture says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my what? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you that my joy, I love that, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Look at the promise that Jesus gives us right then. It is a promise that we can have joy even in those trials, even in those struggles, even in those difficulties. No matter what you're up against, maybe it's a job loss, maybe there's family issues, maybe there's marital issues, maybe there's children issues, whatever it is, even through it all, we can still have joy in who? Christ Jesus. Very good. So that our joy, the scripture says, might be full. That word full in here means complete. Listen, please remember that the birth of Jesus Christ shows that joy has come into the world. The third and final point in this lesson is yours. Amy, what do you think about that? Getting out a little early. You're going to owe me for this. All right. So let's get into our third point this morning. The third point I want us to examine is this. The birth of Jesus means, you'll like this, that a Savior has been provided. Do you like that? I appreciate both of y'all liking that. It means a Savior's been provided. Amen. Because we said it Wednesday night, we've looked at it many times before, no matter how smart you are, how smart you think you are, you cannot make amends for your own sin, can you? Man cannot make atonement for his sin. What we have to do is put our reliance up on God, surrender to the Father in Belma, as you would say, faithful obedience unto the Lord, and remain faithful unto and into our what? Into our death. So the birth of Jesus means that, watch this, that a Savior has now been provided. If we are students of God's great word, his soul-saving word, it doesn't take long, folks, listen, it doesn't take long to see that Jesus and his birth means that we have access to the Father. We have that Savior. We know that Jesus came as a ransom. Mark chapter 10, down in verse 45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom," the Bible says, "for many." Brothers and sisters, family of God, we ought, you and me, we ought to be so thankful today for the very birth of Jesus Christ because of what his birth means for you and for me. It means life for us, true life, L-I-F-E. It means that for us. It means that we have an opportunity at salvation. I go back to the book of Luke chapter 19 down in verse 10. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved them that he gave his only begotten, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have..." Then we have John 3, 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn us," right? "But that the world through him together we might be" what? "We might be saved." Romans chapter 5, verse 8, passage of scripture. I promise I try to do it at least. I try to do this every single lesson. Sometimes I don't, but I try to. Romans 5, 8, "But God put his love into demonstration," didn't he? He demonstrated. He put it into action. "But God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and for me." I think about what the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 as we talk about the birth of Jesus. Folks, it means that we have access to him through his shed blood. That means we have fellowship with others of the household of faith. That means we have a fellowship with our Father. 1 John 1, 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin." I'm thankful for Jesus and his birth because I know that when we are engaged with Jesus Christ, we are disengaged with Satan. Amen. When we are wrapped up and we're bound up in God and his love, we are rejecting Satan and we're kicking him in the face. We want to make sure that we continue to kick Satan out. 1 John 3:8, he who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, made known, shown, that he might destroy the, finish it up, the works of the devil. So in the book of Revelation, it's constantly asked, how much longer? Y'all remember that in our study of book of Revelation? How much longer are these people going to get by with this stuff? You and I in our lifetime have probably said, how does he get by with that? How does she get by with that? How do they get by with doing what they're doing? It's God's time, amen? And he will take care of it all. Let's just concentrate on how good God is to us. Let's concentrate on the birth of Jesus Christ, and not only his birth, but also his death. Not only his birth, death, but also the main thing, not the main thing, but an important, just as important, the resurrection. Amen? If Jesus Christ had not been resurrected, there would be none of this. There would be no need of any of this. But I thank God today for the death, for the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm thanking God right now for the life that Jesus Christ lived. Oh, it was rough. He went through a lot. Rejected by his own. You know, people made fun of him. They beat him. They did all these things to our Jesus. And they did, and he went through that just so we can do what we're doing today. So that we can come here, worship Almighty God, do what we are called to do. And then eventually, when Jesus Christ returns to gather his glorious church, for those that are faithfully obedient, we will be called to that beautiful place called heaven. Amen. Isn't it awesome that Jesus Christ has done what he's done? Yes or no? I think about Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partake of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Folks, isn't it great, once again, that Jesus Christ was born, sent into this world to save sinners like your preacher, to save sinners like you, to save our families for those who will submit to him. So this morning, as we close our lesson, what does Jesus' birth truly mean to you? Does it mean life to you? Or is it just something you've heard about, you've read about, and you're not taking it serious? Does it mean that you too will someday be resurrected like Christ was resurrected? Let me close with this. Christmas is a fun event, isn't it? But let's not lose sight. Let's not get so wound up on what day it was. Well, let's just make every day God's day. Is that all right with everybody? Every day is God's day. No, I can't tell you that December 25th is Jesus' birthday. I can't tell you that it isn't. But I can tell you that my Jesus was born to take away the sins of the world. That's what's important. Amen. For those that submit unto him, for those that will put their life into his nail-scarred hands, you too can become an heir of the kingdom of heaven. I love what the Bible says. We become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I don't know of anything any greater. This morning, if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I'm begging you in the light of the Scripture. Don't do it for me. Do it for your own soul. But I'm begging in the light of the Scriptures because I want you to go to heaven. Get things straight. Hear his word. I gave it to you by Scripture. Did I? All right. Believe God's word. Confess. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Christ. I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I believe that he died. I believe that he was resurrected from the dead on that third day. I believe that he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's my attorney. He's my lawyer. He really is. We are to be baptized with the forgiveness of our sins, living a faithful life unto death. Always, always, always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Maybe you are a Christian. You've wandered from the fold of safety. Please don't be a knucklehead. Don't be crazy. Get back in the fold of safety. Get back to doing what Jesus is calling you to do. If you have a need, you're welcome to come right now. Let's together. Please stand.